I'm sweeping up this pile of dust and rubble, right? Look at the clock. I'm like, fuck, it's 8 minutes to 10. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. Anyway, kept sweeping, big pile, swept it up, put it in a bin bag, and I'm like, 10 o'clock, done.
If I could be anything, I can be fucking anything. I still remember the day I had that realization while speaking at our Freedom Fest event. And I'm here to tell you that you can be fucking anything you want in life. I am Clint X Morgan, your host for the Rich Mystic Man podcast. And if you're ready to create a life of freedom, connection, and abundance, this podcast is for you.
What is up, legend? And welcome to another episode of the Rich Mystic Man podcast. I'm your host, Clint X Morgan. And it's interesting what happened to my intro there. I like what I did with my voice. And I actually find it to be very appropriate because how I did my intro, because it leads into the intention behind today's episode. And today I am releasing a new track, a new song. Clint X Morgan song, a Clint X Morgan first. To release his song first on his podcast, The Rich Mystic Man. So you are hearing it first before anyone else. It goes live tomorrow on all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, all the places that you'd find music. I'll be there. And I wanted to give a little bit of the backstory, how this song came to be, how even... Actually, I probably won't delve into that part of the story, how I came to be an artist. There is a podcast where I do share that story in a little bit more depth. And I wanted to specifically give the inside scoop from this song, which it's my best song so far, but I love so many of my songs. It's hard to have a best. It's like having a favorite child. You know what I mean? You can't pick one. Right. You can pick one, but just depends on the day. People say that's like, who's your favorite child? It's like, it depends what day it is. And so this is an amazing track. I really love it. I love the work that's gone into it. I love the creativity and how it unfolded. And this one was, yeah, it's got a really, really unique story behind it and a really unique way that it came out. It also came out in sort of like an unorthodox, accidental way from some... I guess you'd say miscommunication from Johnny and I, which maybe I'll share that, or maybe we can save that for another chat when I get Johnny on the podcast. So I had committed to writing an album. And so I did share this on another podcast, but I'll give the brief overview of what happened. I had an event called Own Your Beat, and my brother was in hospital. He was extremely unwell. His cancer had accelerated a lot. And I was digging deep of like, what else can I do? How can I support him? And, you know, I feel like I'd supported him in a way that was authentic to me and felt empowering to him. And our relationship had deepened in a way that it hadn't been before, because our relationship now went to a place of, fuck, bro, are you going to live? Or are you going to die? Is this it? Are we going to get to spend more days together, or are those days limited? And, you know, everyone's days are limited and everyone goes. But when it's right in your face like that, it's confronting, but it's also beautiful because you do get to ask those questions and you get to connect in and have conversations that, you know, conversations coming from a place of like, okay, what if this is the last... What if I do have limited time? What if my brother is going? Then I want to make the most of the time that I have left with him. And so is there anything unspoken? Is there anything I need to share? Is there anything that I'm carrying? Is there any, you know, guilt or unexpressed emotions? And so it allowed this deepening in our relationship and our connection. And so he was in hospital and I had this download to have an event. And I had this song called Brother. So Brother, I have this song called Brother that I actually have released. You can find it on iTunes. I'll put the link in the show notes. You can listen into that on iTunes or Shopify, etc. So I had this song and I had this download that I was doing an event and my brother was there and the intention was to support my brother to heal. And I called this event Own Your Beat Healer Brother live event. So I did this event and Johnny came up for this. And Johnny and I had been working together for a couple of years, I believe, at that stage. He's my producer. He'd never seen me perform. You know, created tracks together, never seen me perform. But I invited him up. He was living in Melbourne at the time. I invited him up to come and DJ and support me in this act and this event. And afterwards, it was the next day and I was driving him back to the airport. I said, I mean, I'll take him to the airport. We'll come and we'll have a bit of a chat. And he was like, dude, he goes, I don't say this often, but he goes, whatever you're doing, the heart and the intention and the way the crowd was moved in that event was, that's something I barely see. And so he goes, whatever you're doing, I'm all for it. And he also shared that he said, listen, for your next songs that you want to write, it'd be great if we could, be close together and I could support you in writing and support you on how to write in a more effective way. Cause me, I'm learning the whole music thing. Johnny's been doing it since he was in his mama's belly. Right. And for me, it's only a new thing. It's been about 5 years, I believe, since I, wrote my first song. And that was really the day I wrote my first song was what I feel was the day I started music. Yeah, it was the first day. I literally went into the studio and we wrote a song. And prior to that, it was just me listening to some music. That was about the extent of it. So he said, yeah, I want to be close, right? You come down to Melbourne or I come up here even. And so, I got three small kids. And so I was like, how about you come up here? My brother then passed away. It was 10 days after we did that event. 10 days later, my brother passed away. And so Johnny came up and we spent 3 or 4 days together in Byron Bay and we wrote a couple of songs and it was just the best. When we get together, we have fun. It gets super creative. I love the whole process of writing music because you start with just an idea and maybe a beat and the next minute through trial and error and trusting the creative downloads and process and getting out of the way, you then have a song and you're like, holy shit, whoa, I love this song. And I love my music. And so I love the music that we create together. So we had these few days together and it was like, I said to Johnny there, I was like, dude, imagine doing this every day. And he's like, yeah, we had one of those moments. Anyway, a few days later, he went back to Melbourne. He calls me up and he's like, dude, when you said imagine doing this every day, he goes, were you serious? And I was like, well, yeah, I guess so. Why? And just why? It's a bit cautious as to what, it felt like a loaded question. And he said, well, he goes, I've got this idea. He goes, I want to get out of Melbourne. He goes, I want to move up there. He goes, you want to, do more music. He said, how about we write an album? And I was like, straight away, I was like, fuck yes. Long story short, I sold my Jeep and I paid Johnny the money from selling my Jeep to do 12 songs together. And we made a commitment to do it in 12 weeks. I didn't realize what I signed up for until I got into it because fuck, it was confronting. It was challenging. It was way out of my comfort zone because I'd created by then maybe 4 or 5 songs, right? But it'd been over like 2 years and now I'm doing 12 songs in 12 weeks. So it accelerated the process and it called me forward. It called me to step up. And so around about the same time, or maybe it was a little bit before, it was after my brother passed away, I had this inspiration, which is something that had been within me for a decade. And that was working with men, supporting men, teaching them what I'd learned because 10 years ago, 12 years ago now, 15 years ago now maybe, I was really shy, awkward, didn't really know how to communicate to people effectively. I'm still learning. I'm still a school graduate in that regard, still learning. But I didn't know how to talk to women. Well, I did, but I didn't confidently. I didn't know how to convey when I liked a girl, didn't know how to money, business, it was all very new to me. And so, but I started developing these skills and started learning and discovered personal development. And so I started delving in and I realized it's like, holy shit, like I can learn new skill sets. Like I can, if I want something, then I can just learn it and figure it out. Because I'd went from not knowing how to communicate to people to then learning how to like talk to girls and, you know, having relationships, and then also to sales. Like I went from like not knowing how to talk to people to then having sales conversations and, you know, having the courage to go out to people on the street and literally make them an offer to, I was a personal trainer, to come in and have a session with me, a complimentary session where I'd sign them up as a regular client. And, you know, I started making more money. I filled my books and I had a goal to do 60 sessions a week. I went to this retreat and came back, and within 90 days, and this is where the 90-day sprint was birthed, I had filled my books up with clients. And so I started learning all these skill sets and I was like, holy shit. Like I was like, there's got to be other men out there, right, that also don't know what the fuck they're doing, don't know how to talk to women, don't know how to manage money, you know, really nervous in social situations. And, you know, maybe I can support them with what I've learned. And so I had this calling to work with men. And I remember I had this coach at the time and she said to me, she said, Clint, she says, you just need to work with yourself. And that resonated. I was like, you know what? I think I do. I think that feels good. So I just kept working on myself. And it'd come back every now and then, work with men. And I was like, you know what? No, fuck men. I was like, I just want to work with me and I just want to do me. So I just kept building my business. You know, I kept creating more freedom for myself and I kept doing my thing and creating success and creating more wealth and building my relationship with my wife. And I started having kids and I just kept working on me. You know, and it wasn't until I was there and I saw my brother in pain in hospital that I was like, it came back so much stronger. I was like, you know what? I said, whatever happens with Arlen, whether he survives or he dies, I said, it's time. It's time to work with men. And at the same, about a similar time, maybe a little bit before that, I was in this container with Dane Thomas, right? And I can't remember what it was called, but I was in this container, this coaching thing. And he's talking about stepping into an identity. And he's like, create an identity for the person you wish to become. You know, and he was talking about becoming the millionaire artist because he was stepping into being a musician as well. And this is maybe before I was doing music. No, I was doing music at this time. And anyway, and I just had this download. I was like, the rich mystic man. I was like, yeah, stepping into the identity of the rich mystic man. Because for me, over the last decade, I started out on a spiritual quest. Right. And then I was like super broke and I met my wife and I was like, I was always running out of money behind on bills. And so I then went on to this financial quest to create money. And I sort of forgot about the spiritual quest. I put it to the side somewhat. And then I realized that I was making money, but I didn't feel fulfilled. And so I then invited the spiritual quest back in, the mystic side. And so I started exploring the mystic side and then somewhat not forgot about the money, but, you know, lost so much focus and intention on it. And so then at that time, and although I was created money and I had residual income and, you know, financial independence, which is epic, the way I said it, then I was sort of like talking it down like it was nothing. Like it's a colossal achievement. And, you know, I'm super proud of myself and my wife and what we've created and our community. But I was like, you know what? I really want to take it to another level. And so I was like, but I want to do it in a way that's combining the two. It's not, I'm not forgetting about my spiritual quest. I'm not forgetting about my evolution and my growth and, you know, me being all that I can be and purifying my vessel. But I also want to make bank. Like I want to make a lot of money because there's a lot of things I want to do in this world. And I know that's part of my spiritual quest even. It is part of my spiritual quest to be rewarded abundantly and create. That's what my spiritual quest is, and master that skill set and teach others how to do the same. And so the rich mystic man as a name for identity for myself was something that I was stepping into. And I remember sharing it with Christy and she's like, oh, she goes, that would be a great name for a course. And I was like, "Ooh, you're right. That would be a great name for a course. And so the rich mystic man as an idea was born. And so when I was faced with the death of my brother, as I was sitting there those days in the hospital bed, I was like, you know what? once this is over, whether Alan's out, back, alive, out of this hospital bed, or he doesn't make it, I said to myself, I was like, it's time to work with men. It's time to support men. You know, here's my brother in a lot of pain, and a lot of his stem from financial pain, in a lot of pain. And I was like, it's time. It's time for me to share and teach and share what I've learned to reduce the amount of pain in my life. Not that I live pain-free. I don't. Just had the most wild last 10 days. So much pain. I can laugh about it now, but back 10 days ago, I couldn't. I didn't even do my podcast last week, which is very unlikely. And so I said, cool, it's time. And so my brother passed away, and I was like, okay, cool, where do I start? And so I believe I started with the podcast, the Rich Mystic Man podcast. I was at an event, and my mentor, Balaj W. Kaidos, he had started a podcast. He was in the process of starting a podcast, and I wanted to do a podcast for years. I was like, you know what, do it. And he said to me, he goes, dude, podcast is where it's at. And I was like, yeah, I like that idea. So I was like, cool, how about I start the Rich Mystic Man podcast? Start talking to Mitt. So I started that. And then I was like, I also want to do an event, the Rich Mystic Man retreat. Just do a retreat. How about we get the brothers in a room? Right, we'll do a retreat. And I felt the intention was leaping into the unknown. Leaping into the unknown was the intention behind the retreat. That's what I want to support men do with doing. Because I'd had these so many crazy experiences where I had taken a leap of faith without seeing or knowing what was going to happen, against all odds of the capabilities of myself actually doing the thing, but stepping into this unknown space. Even my magic business, you know, at the time it wasn't a thing. We now have thousands of people all around the world doing this thing, right? Back then it was just me, little old me just starting a thing. But I saw something, I leapt into the unknown. Then my wife and I went to Vancouver, and we were driving to the airport without a ticket 2 hours before the flight was taking off, still figuring out how we're going to get the money together to buy our plane ticket. Long story short, we did it. We got on this plane. Security escorted us through the security things across through the gates and got on this plane just. Went over to this thing in Vancouver. Changed our life. Came back. We hosted an event. Invested all our money into this event. Put on this event, this retreat called the Freedom Mansion Mastermind, and had 30 people there. And we shared a vision of what we saw of this growing and becoming a thing. From that, we launched a webinar. We said, we're going to do this webinar. Everyone invite people to the webinar. We're just trusting and leaping into the unknown, doing these things. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't have a crystal ball, but we just trusted this inner guidance that was flowing through us. And so held this masterclass. And then the events, within 6 months, we had a 230-person event. 6 months later, we had a 500-person event. 12 months later, we had a 1,000-person fucking event. And this came off the back of us trusting and leaping and making moves into the unknown. And so I'm like, this has been such a big part of my life. And it's a big reason why I'm standing here today. And so I want to run a retreat with the theme of leaping into the unknown. So I'm like, where would someone have a retreat like that? So we had 30 acres of beautiful land in the Northern Rivers. We had this house that we were transforming. We were doing renovations and we were transforming this house. And the house was not done. Not even close. It was a shell. And Christy said, why don't we give the builders a deadline? Before that, we sort of just worked and, you know, people just showed up and worked. And it was like, what if we give them a deadline? And I said, you know what? I'm going to have this retreat at the land. And I said it to the fellas when I was having the sales calls with them, and I was enrolling these people. I ended up with 11 people. And I was talking to them. I said, hey, listen, we're having this at our land. It's in the Northern Rivers. This is the location. Just to let you know that our house is under construction. Now, my goal, my intention is to have the house complete by this date. But the reality is there's a lot of uncertainties here, and I'm not sure, so be prepared that it could be that we're camping. The house isn't done, we'll be camping, but my goal is to have the house done and we can sleep in the house. So I'm working closely with the builders. We had our project manager that was like, I thought things were sort of further along and handled than what they were. Turns out 3 weeks out, things weren't, and there's a lot of things that weren't done. And I was like, fuck, I got to step in here. So I stepped in and I'm working with builders and all this sort of stuff. And this is outside my comfort zone. This isn't me. This isn't my thing. You know, I'm the dude that runs an event or builds an online business or, you know, creates music quite randomly and holds the concerts. I'm like, I don't do building, but here I am like talking with builders and suppliers and, you know, carpenters and chippies and all those sorts of stuff, right? And so it was coming close and I'm like, you know what? I think we're going to fucking do it. And the builder's like, we're going to have something done. It's not going to be fully complete. And I'm like, that's cool. As long as we've got running water, there's a toilet and there's a room and there's a place the guys can sleep. It's all good. And so this was me leaping into the unknown. It's like just trusting. And it was, I'm like, this is a prime example. I'm just like full faith. So it was the day before I rock up to the house because the retreat was starting the next day. And I told the guys we were starting at 9. But then some people, because we're in New South Wales, some people were in Queensland, they forgot about the time zone change. I said, hey guys, listen, let's start at 10 New South Wales time, which is 9, because some people were driving down from Noosa. And they would have to leave it from 4 a.m. to 3 a.m. I said, listen, they started at 10, that's fine. Yeah, it was not going to be a big deal. Said they started at 10. And thank the Lord that we didn't start at 9 because I wouldn't have been ready. Because I got there the night before and my builder's like, listen, he goes, I packed up tools. He goes, we're finished. But he goes, the house is a mess. I get there, there's shit everywhere. Literally, there wasn't a spare bit of floor that was not covered with some piece of shit, a tool, some timber, some like, floor covering stuff, rubbish, sawdust, shit everywhere. And I was like, I got there at like 10 o'clock. And I was like, fuck, this place is a mess. I was like, all right, well, I'm balls deep. Let's just keep going. Let's just clean it up. We'll clean it up in the morning. So all hands were back on deck. I slept there. Let's pull stuff aside. I put down like a little, I don't know, this little mattress thing I had. And I slept on the ground. Woke up the next morning, 7 o'clock, and my builders and stuff arrived there and we just started cleaning. The builders like finishing off the deck. There was like half done deck. There's a few little bits and pieces that needed finishing and he came in and he was finishing that. Anyway, so then a couple people arrived maybe like 9 o'clock. And I was sort of quick set. I said, hey guys, I just need to clean up and I'll be right with you guys. Anyway, I'm sweeping up and I'm sort of down to the last sweep. I just got to sweep the floor. So I'm sweeping the floor. I'm sweeping up this pile of dust and rubble, right? Look at the clock. I'm like, fuck, it's 8 minutes to 10. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. Anyway, kept sweeping, big pile, swept it up, put it in a bin bag. And I'm like, 10 o'clock, done. Finished. 10 o'clock. And I was like, holy shit, you can't make that up. Literally, like down to the bone. And in my song, anyway, so to link it in now, I wrote this song about this experience. The song that I'm releasing is about this weekend. Because at the same time, I was working with Johnny. And one thing he was teaching me was how to really storytell. Hip-hop storytelling. You're telling a story, right? And so I'm sharing my story and I'm unpacking it. And he's teaching me how to like really get in the story or get the story out of you and write it and then make it rhyme, you know, and then add it to a beat and make it a song. And so I'm playing with that. I'm like, well, you know, it wasn't until after. I was like, maybe I'll write a song about that experience. Like that was epic. And so one of the lyrics is like, nothing like a deadline to finish in time. And it was like, I had this deadline. Had to be done by 10. And it was literally 10 o'clock. Even if I didn't have that extra hour, I would have been an hour behind. But because I had that hour, I was like, here we are, 10 o'clock, done. Right, it wasn't finished. The house, there was one room that was still full of heaps of shit, but we just slept in the other rooms. And it was no beds, it was just mattresses on the ground. So we had a house, we had running water, we had a kitchen, we had a toilet, we had a shower. And so we had this retreat. And one thing that had been a big piece in my journey, this is probably 5-6 years ago now, one thing that supported me on my journey is a medicine called 5-MeO-DMT, TOAD, SAPO. And so, you know, leading up to this retreat, I was like, well, you know, how about I start them in sort of where a big turning point, a starting piece for me, which was that, which I feel opened me up, opened a lot up within me. So I was like, I want to have that as part of the experience. So we did. What a better way than a journey with a toad? We began to see the men coming out the shell. Every single man had a story to tell. All these men that were coming, all these 11 men, everyone had their own journey, their own demons, their own mission, their own challenges that they were facing in life. You know, just through the experience of us working together, they were beginning to come out of their shell. And so this retreat was that experience, like leap into the unknown, trust yourself, back yourself, brother. Come on this journey. And we have this beautiful creek at our land, and we walked up the creek as part of one of the experiences, and we did a purification. We have this beautiful waterfall. It's purification. And I didn't know this, but one of the fellas, Maddie, he couldn't swim. So we're here up at this creek, and there's this big rock you jump off. And so the idea was like, you go purify under the water, let go of anything that's no longer serving you in the water, let the water, you know, wash it away, and then walk around and then jump off as the new you, leaping into the unknown, the rich mystic man. Boom. It's like jumping off the water off the rock into the water. And here's one of the fellas, Matty, he couldn't swim. Didn't let that stop him. Still jumped in. And a few of the men down the bottom caught him. Maybe I was telling him, I can't remember, but we caught him. And so these 3 days were life-changing. And here's a few of their stories now. So it was an amazing experience.
Wow, what an experience. An experience that has been a journey into finding myself again. When I came here, I knew I was looking for something, but I didn't ever believe that I would find what I was looking for inside of me.
The Rich Mystic Man has been one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. It's been profound, it's been life-changing, and it's helped me to embody and embrace who I actually am on a deeper level.
Such a wonderful experience, and especially the sacred place like this, and this has given me the space for us to feel it, to get connected with who I really is. So, thank you so much.
I came up here not sure if what I was going to find, but I know what I have found, and I've found myself.
The experience that I had here with Clem and other men was profound. And it has changed my life moving forwards forever.
Because the truth is, where we are right now in the world, we need men to step the fuck up. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of fucking weak men. It's the stage I was a weak man, you know? And it's like going to the, you know, the Rissic Man, it's like collectively the ripple effect that has, because we all left there more powerful men, and then the men that we went and reintegrated back into, you know, society with or whatever, back into our lives, they're feeling our fucking next level energy, and they're like, they're being forced to fucking rise too. So it's like, you're not just doing it for yourself, you're doing it for fucking all of mankind. You're helping more fucking men collectively, the ripple effect, like, you know, being in your fucking energy, like that's this, you know, you've come back, you've finished your retreat, you're like this next level fucking beast that you've tapped into. And it's like, suddenly, like, you know, the men that you might be in a job still that you're working with, or the men you might go fishing, or the men you might just hang out with, you know, they're feeling that energy with you, and they're like, you know, their inner masculine wisdom is being called to fucking step up too, you know. So like, you know, you say no to this, you're stopping not only your own growth, you're stopping the growth of the people that you hang around with, you know, and that are in your energy, and your children. You might have sons, you know, and it's like you saying no to that is actually saying no to your son stepping into the next level version of himself.
And so then afterwards, I wrote this song about the experience, and we're working with Johnny in the studio. I also wrote this other song called I haven't given it a name yet, but it's a song that around the speech that I did at my brother's funeral. I haven't released it yet. It's very close to being finished. So, and Johnny, we didn't have a hook for it. We didn't have a chorus. And Johnny's like, listen, I've got some for the brother song. I said, oh, epic. Nice. What do you got? And Johnny's happy because he was like, because we're in the studio so much, he hears my story so much, he hears my music so much, he's producing it. He's like, he knows me and he's got a real fucking talent and knack for music. And so oftentimes he'll support with the lyrics and it's like he's me, because he's not me. He's very different. Johnny and I are very different. But he's like, when he's writing, if something comes in through him, it's like, dude, as if it has come through me, right? And so we'll riff together and work together and he'll help me craft things and, you know, critique stuff and, you know, because I'm real learning this whole rhythm and cadence and all that sort of stuff. It's still stuff that I'm a student of. And so, yeah, he's like, I got this chorus. I was like, fuck yeah, let me hear it. Anyway, we got on a Zoom call because, yeah, we just did it on a Zoom call. Anyway, he starts playing the song. And I was like, he starts playing the song. I was like, whoa, 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 Johnny, stop. Can you stop it here? And I said, dude, I thought you had a chorus for the brother track. And he's like, this is not the brother track. I'm like, no, this is the retreat track. And he's like, oh, but you said, now that my brother's passed away. I said, yeah, I said that at the start. That's just the intro. I'm like, because it goes, now that my brother passed away, it was time for me to finally press play. Because I'm talking about like the story that I shared. I'm like, so anyway, he's written this chorus for another song that I thought anyway, but it was for this song. So I was like, I was like, dude, he played it. And I was like, dude, this is epic. And it actually fit. I was like, this works extremely well. So the chorus, how's it go again? My brother's on the mountain, the other's on my phone. The picture's on your windowsill, your lover's on the moan. So my brother's on the mountain, you know, my brother's, you know, passing away. My other brother's on the phone. So two times, my little brother, one time was when my brother, he'd just gone to the hospital and he called me and I was at home living up in Casarina, Northern Rivers. And he called me and he said, hey, listen, like, you know, we've just spoke to the doctors and the cancer's really, it's gotten aggressive and it's accelerated. And so I was like, all right, I need to get down there. And so I was sitting with my wife on the couch and she said, babe, just go. And so I left the next day. And I'm grateful for my brother for that call because I know how hard it would have been making that call. It really hit me in that moment. I feel like that's when I knew. It was like I something inside me knew that he wasn't going to make it. So I went to the hospital and we spent about just a couple of months, I believe. I'm not sure of the time frame, but maybe it was a month or two. And I was pretty much there most days. I'd go up and see my family. I was more living down there and I'd go see my family sort of, you know, maybe once or twice a month. And I'd take it in turns bringing my kids back. Different kids and my kids, not different kids, my kids, different ones of my children. And then, he was starting to get worse and worse and fading away. And I had a call from my brother. And he said, hey, I'm here with Arlen. And he's not looking too good. So I just thought you might want to say goodbye. And so I talked to my brother on the phone and I was already planning to go down back to Sydney that night. I'd gone up to see my family. And so I spoke to my brother and he couldn't really speak at that stage, but he did say that he's like, I'll see you tomorrow, bro. He goes, I'll be here. So I went down that night and I didn't get to see him that night. And I was like, I'll go see him in the morning. But we got a call from the hospital that night and he passed away. So I did get to go see him, but he was dead. But when I did see him, he had a little smile on his face, it's a little smirk. And so I knew wherever he went was peaceful and he was happy. So yeah, that's the meaning behind the lyric of my brother's on the phone, your lover's on the moon. That's a long story. I don't want to get into that. I'm talking about his lover, my brother's lover. And so, yeah, Johnny wrote this chorus and he actually sung it and he's got a fucking epic voice. So that's the story behind the track. got a lot of meaning to it. A lot of hidden messages. Oh, your picture's on the windowsill. That's another bit. Picture's on the windowsill. So my dad and my mom, I remember the story from this, the card that you get from the funeral, my brother's funeral. And so the card that has all like the minutes or whatever it is, like the schedule, it's got a picture of Arlen on it. And he had it in his, dad lives in a truck. Dad lives in the truck. He's a truckie. He's on a truck. He's got this truck. It's like a camper home. He has it on his land. And he had the, I sort of call it a meeting minutes, but it's like the funeral. I don't know, it's got a certain name. I can't think of the name. The thing from the voucher. So the fucking voucher. The card. And so he's got this thing, the photo of Arlen. Anyway, it's a photo of Arlen. It's a photo of Arlen. And it would often fall over. He'd go out and this thing would fall over. And it'd come from like being back like that to like, fallen over. And so it's like, to my dad, he goes, it just wouldn't fall over. It's not saying it just falls over. So to my father, it was my brother moving it. And same with my mom, she had things just disappear, sort of go missing and just disappear from the house. And she'd be looking everywhere for him, and she's looked everywhere. And then, you know, she'd come back and the thing she was looking for was in a really obvious place. It's like a place that she'd definitely look, and it's just there. And it's like, it's really bizarre. So we feel it's our brother sending us messages. I actually had an experience one day and I was having these downloads around, yeah, just releasing more of these songs and telling more of Arlen's stories. And I was sort of sitting with this. I was like, is this something I want to do? And then it was the next day and I was meditating. I was sitting on my lounge meditating. And I came out of the meditation, opened my eyes, and there's my dog sitting there chewing my shoe. And it was the shoe that I bought for Arlen when he was in hospital. So and the intention behind them was me future pacing and giving him some shoes that he could wear when he gets out. And then we realized he wasn't going to get out. So I went and switched them for my size. Samara and Williams, I went and switched them for my size. And I said, brother, when I knew he was dying, I said, bro, he's my older brother. And then it's me, then I live my brother. And I said, you know, now I'm the big brother. So I'm stepping into your shoes. And so I have these shoes. And there's my dog chewing, and he got him out of my cupboard. So like he never eaten my shoes before, and here he is. He's gone into my cupboard and grabbed these shoes that were very sentimental to me. And he's sitting there chewing them. First thing I saw when I was thinking about should I do this thing when I come out of this meditation. So I was like, all right, bro, let's go, let's do it. So here we are, sharing a story. So I hope you enjoy the track as much as I do. And I love you, brother, big brother, little brother. I love my sister, and my family, my parents, mom, dad, my wife, my children, and my community. So thank you for all your support. Thank you, Johnny, for being there, helping me extract all this stuff out of me. I'm super grateful. I'm excited about getting this music out into the world. If you have a loved one, cherish your time with them, because you never know when it'll be their last days. Big love.
Now that my brother passed away, it was time for me to finally press play on a plan to rewire the man in pain. Show the man how to live the rich mystic way. I set a date and a place for the retreat. On a sacred land was the place to meet. As a man, we know it is hard to take some space in our life with all the bits and all the spinning plates. Tension is to leap deep in the unknown, and what a better way than the journey with the tote. We began to see the man coming out the shell. Every single man had a story to tell. It was the first day and we said start at 10. It is my goal to have the house done by then. It was 7:30 and the house was still a mess. Let's progress, no rest, we're all giving it our best.
With my brothers on the mountain and the others on my phone. Your pictures on the windowsill, your lovers on the moon. When you go and make a fountain, now you know that someone's home.
I'm done in five. Nothing like a deadline to finish in time. The men arrive on time, so I dive right in. First up is freedom, cow intention setting. Ending the oppression and suppression of emotion. Feeling the compression of aggression in the motion. Before we have a lunch, we all go for a swim. In the creek, off the rocks, where we jump right in. Even for my brother who cannot swim.
Not afraid, he does not let that bother him. From jumping in and muddying the energetic man, that's the way that we plan for the bridge, mystic man. Now I'm purified, but I'm chilled to the bone. Heading home again, stepping into the unknown. Oh, you'll be the man, and now putting on a show. Step right up, grab the microphone and let that shit flow.
When my brother's on the mountain and the others on my phone, your picture's on the windowsill, your lover's on the moon. When you go and make a fountain, now you know that someone's home. My brother's at
that there in a circle by the creek. This is where shit got really mystique. Should we take a journey right up to the stars? Finally discovering what the fuck we are. Have a big dose of reality. Get a sense, make a sense of your immortality. Sensuality, dimensionality. This modality's increasing musicality. Heading back to the house for some food. Going in the creek now, swimming in the nude. This is what you do, and I'm feeling so alive. I had a shift and now it is my time to thrive. To help with integration, a session with Steve. Locking in my anchor, remember to breathe. Her brotherhood was born, and we're having some fun. The bridge, mystic man, journey has now begun.
When my brother's on the mountain and the others on my phone, the picture's on the windowsill, the lover's on the moon. When you go and make a fountain, you know that someone's home. My brother's and you know. When my brother's on the mountain and the others on my phone, the pictures on the windowsill.